Translation by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. I propose to perform a name-giving ceremony. We should observe a festival and call for the brahmanas because today is very auspicious. Purport. It is the Vedic principle to observe a festival in connection with Narayan and brahmanas. Giving a child a particular name is among the purificatory processes which are known as Dasha Vidhi Samskar. And on the day of such a ceremony, one should observe a festival by worshipping Narayan and distributing prasad chiefly among the brahmanas. When Nilambar Chakravarti, Sachimata, and Jagannath Mishra, recognizing the marks on the Lord's lotus feet, understood that the child Nimai was not an ordinary child but an incarnation of Narayan, they decided that on that very same day, which was very auspicious, they should observe a festival for his name-giving ceremony. In this connection, we can particularly see how an incarnation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is ascertained by his bodily symptoms, his activities, and prediction of the Shastras. By factual evidence, a person can be accepted as an incarnation of God, not whimsically or by the votes of rascals and fools. There have been many imitation incarnations in Bengal since the appearance of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Since the appearance of Lord Chaitanya, but any impartial devotee or learned man can understand that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was accepted as an incarnation of Krishna, not on the basis of popular votes, but by evidence from the Shastras and bona fide scholars. It was not ordinary men who accepted Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In the beginning, his identity was ascertained by learned scholars like Nilambar Chakravarti, and later all his activities were confirmed by the six Goswamis, especially Srila Jiva Goswami and Srila Rupa Goswami and other learned scholars with evidence from the Shastra. An incarnation of God is such from the very beginning of his life. It is not that by performing meditation one can become an incarnation of God all of a sudden. Such false incarnations are meant for fools and rascals, not sane men. Om Ajnanati Mirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurul Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatam Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi प्रणमामि हरि प्रिय वाञ्च कल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपा सिन्धुभ्यैव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासदि गौरभक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम हरे राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्णा. So here, this chapter is entitled Lord Chaitanya's Childhood Pastimes. The Lord having been born, here they are proposing a name-giving ceremony, as is common in Vedic samskaras. And this being the Lord, they notice the auspicious markings on the Lord's lotus feet, the flag, conch shell, fish, and other markings which are very auspicious. And Nilambar Chakravarti, being a scholar, he immediately recognizes that when he is referred to. And he says, it's a very auspicious day. Let's give, perform the name-giving ceremony. So we can see, Prabhupada mentions in the purport that incarnations, when they are born, yeah, that they all have this auspicious markings. Prabhupada mentioned that how do we know? We have Krishna's name, his address, and the name of his father and mother. That's how we know that the incarnations are real. So in Srimad Bhagavatam, there's a list of scheduled incarnations. And if we see that, you know, all the scheduled incarnations, the names of the father and mother is also given there, along with, you know, what specific functions that the incarnations come to perform, like that. So Prabhupada mentioned that we say Krishnaya Vasudevaya, that Krishna, his father's name is Vasudev. And then Prabhupada says there could be many Vasudevs. So how do we know that this particular Krishna belongs to this Vasudev? Then, Devaki Nandanayacha. That Vasudev who is married to Devaki and whose son is Krishna. So his mother is Devaki. So then, what is he doing with Nand Maharaj? No, Nanda Gopa Kumaraya. So he is also playing with his foster parents in Gokul, with the Gopas. Yeah, Govindaya Namo Nama. And he is none other than Govinda, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Like that. So, for every incarnation, the scriptures give specific father's name, mother's name, where they'll come, what duties they'll perform. And only then can we recognize the authorized incarnations. Now here we can see, Prabhupada mentions in the purport, that there are lots of incarnations coming everywhere, all over the world. And people also claim that they are incarnations. So this gives rise to confusion, especially because the ordinary mass of people, they don't have this knowledge. And therefore it is so very important. Prabhupada was saying that people come to the temples, yeah, because they have faith. A temple is a faith-creating entity. The faith is killed mostly because people in general, especially in the age of Kali Yuga, quarrel and hypocrisy being the hallmarks of people, it is easy to lose faith. Now, the ordinary example can be given that a lot of thieves, they go to the temples to steal shoes. And also the pickpockets, they hover around temples. So they know that these people have faith in something else, in God. So naturally, the ordinary materialistic person is expected to always take care of his belongings. Yeah? But these people who visit the temple, they have their mind on God, on something different. So because they trust that and they leave their shoes, then we can steal. So we can see that how Maya arranges for the faith to be killed. That she also helps thieves to go to the temple and steal. So people say, why does this happen in Lord's temple? I've come to worship the Lord and this is what happens there. So the faith is slowly killed. This is how Maya arranges. So, and then there are those representing the Lord. Prabhupada said it is the duty, you know, the sadhus, we can call them, who are representing the Lord. It is their duty to increase the faith and the devotion and the love of those who visit the temples. But then we can see that if the sadhus are not authentic, then they won't give the right knowledge to the people in general. Yeah? Like most of the times, I remember visiting so many temples before coming to ISKCON. And it was mostly, you know, you come here, you offer some aarti, you take prasad, you put some coins, and then you go. And so no knowledge was given. And then when you went to the pujari and told him that, you know, I have certain problems, I'd like to speak to you. And the usual conclusion would be, perform this puja or that puja and give this donation. And everything would be okay. And it wasn't okay. And slowly that also used to kill the faith of the people in general, that they're following whatever is told by these supposedly learned priests. And they're following it, but it's not working like that. So therefore it's very important for sadhus especially to, it is mentioned, sakshad haritvena samastra sastre uktas tata bhav yata eva sabdi, that the sadhus actually representing Lord, they should be treated non-different from the Lord. So that is because they take on this position, you know, living a very simple life. I mean, in India, you know, originally, the sannyasis, brahmanas and everything, they used to live by madhukari, begging, a simple life. And some of them used to even, you know, they used to say, I will beg on 5 doses today. And if I don't get anything, I'll think it's the Lord's wish that I don't eat anything today. So they used to fast. So life used to be very austere for them. And they used to live this life so that they didn't compromise their integrity. And then they used to use all their time to just serve the communities. Jai Shri Shri Radha Gokulananda Ji Ki Jai. Shri Shri Sita Ram Ji, Lakshman Ji, Hanuman Ji Ki Jai. Shri Shri Gaur Nitai Ki Jai. Shri La Prabhupada Ki Jai. So they existed only to bring the people closer to the Lord. That was their duty. And for that, they performed austerity so that they never compromised their integrity. Consequently, even great kings, we read in Srimad Bhagavatam, you know, even if they were on elephants or wherever they were, they used to get down and bow down to these Brahmins, saying that, I can't do it, but you are doing this selfless task. All glories to you. And they used to bow down like that. But here, you know, Prabhupada especially says that that position of trust has been breached and betrayed. And so we have a problem today. You know, no one wants to believe in religion. Even if they come to ISKCON, they get all the knowledge, still they have so many questions because their faith has been violated like that. So Srimad Bhagavatam says that this is not just the Kali Yuga. Of course, you know, Srimad Bhagavatam also says, Manda Sumanda Matayog, Manda Bhagya Upra, Hi Upadrita. In Kali Yuga, everyone is, you know, dull and unfortunate. And mind is always disturbed. So it is very difficult to take to spiritual things anyway. And But we can see that even in Satya Yuga, when Maharaj Anga, a saintly king, he was ruling the planet. And Maharaj Anga was performing sacrifices, you know, because he didn't have a son. And no matter what the pure brahmanas did, the demigods wouldn't accept the worship. And he was wondering, you know, Maharaj Anga was very confused. He didn't know why it was happening. So he was praying to Lord Vishnu. And then one day, finally, out of the brahmanas' sacrifices, his wife got pregnant. And then a son was born. But the son was Maharaj Vena. Maharaj Vena, you know, even in his childhood, he was a nasty little prince. He used to kill his friends, you know, just for fun, like that. So even though his father was so, Rajarshi, he got a son who was totally characterless. And then as he grew, there were more problems. But ultimately, Maharaj Anga tried to discipline him. He could not. And then he thought, this is the will of the Lord. So he went to the forest to meditate on the Lord and, you know, lead the Vanaprastha Ashram. So then Vena took charge, and sure enough, he, you know, terrified everyone. And then he also told the brahmanas, you have to worship me because I am Narayan. So that is where it started. He says, you are worshipping all, you know, you are worshipping that Lord Narayan. Where is he? But I am right here in front of you. King is supposed to be Narayan. So you worship me. So the brahmanas first explained to the king. They told him, they were very pure. They told the king that, you know, you have to follow the Vedic principles. Only then will you be successful and will you be able to serve all the people. King is meant to serve everyone in bringing them closer to the Lord. That is the only job of the king. And he has to administer everything. And if you do that, if you bring the people closer to the Lord, automatically your administration will be successful. But King Vena had other plans. He insisted on it. And one day the Brahmins decided, enough is enough. And they all got together and said, may this king die. And Maharaj Vena was dead immediately, just on their saying, because they were that pure. And so he was finished off in that way. So that is how people were dealt with, you know, these brahmanas. They had that much power. So the Varnashram Dharma was acting very nicely. The brahmanas were the spiritual heads. The kshatriyas were the administrative heads. And the administration was run completely by the kshatriyas being surrendered to the brahmanas and following their orders. Because the brahmanas were connected to the Lord and were committed to following the instructions of the Lord. And then they, you know, helped the Vaishyas and the Shudras follow their, guna and dharma. And consequently, everyone was happy because everyone was going back home, back to Godhead, fulfilling their duties, like that. But then came Maharaj Prithu. Maharaj Vena, of course, he was killed. The brahmanas didn't know what to do. Sure enough, Maharaj Vena was strong enough. He terrorized even the rogues and the thieves. But once he was gone, they all came and started looting. So the brahmanas says, what is to be done? So because the princely order, the line of succession from the king has to be followed, what they did was they churned the right arm of Maharaj Vena, the dead king. And then they churned the arm, and by mercy of Lord Vishnu, was born Prithu Maharaj. So Prithu Maharaj was born, and he was an incarnation of the Lord. And so immediately he set things right. He, the earth had stopped giving all the minerals, foodstuffs, because of Maharaj Vena's atrocities. And so he threatened the earth. And earth said, O king, I wasn't giving it because such a king as Vena was just creating terror everywhere. And there was no worship of the Lord going on. Consequently, I withheld everything. But now that you are following the religious principles, I will give everything. And consequently, the kingdom became prosperous again. So Maharaj Prithu had a very successful reign, looking after people, bringing them closer to the Lord. And he had performed 99 yajnas, Ashwamedha yajnas. And he was on the advice of the Brahmanas, he was to perform the 100th Ashwamedha yajna. So he started the preparations and everything. And as is normal, that, one who is deep into sense gratification is always insecure. So Indra, the king of the heavenly planets, who is totally into sense gratification, he became insecure. Because he thought that Prithu Maharaj was performing this 100th yajna so that he could take the place of Indra. So he became insecure and he thought, I want to steal the sacrificial horse so that I can stop the yajna. And the idea that he came up with, which is, Prabhupada mentions in the purport, that from then on, people started taking shelter of the sannyasi robes and the robes of sadhus to fool the general mass of people. So what Indra did is, he dressed up as a sannyasi, sadhu, with ash all over his body. He tied his hair up. And then he went to the sacrificial arena and he stole the horse. He stole the horse and he was going. And actually, there were so many souls there, but they didn't notice. But Atri Muni, he noticed it. And of course, Prithu Maharaj's son started chasing Indra. But when he saw the sannyasi robes, he stopped because he thought, a sannyasi is taking the horse, so it must be all right. Must be part of the sacrifice. But then Atri Muni told him, no. This Indra is the lowest of mankind. You go and kill him. Atri Muni asked him to kill him. So the son of Prithu Maharaj, he put his bow to the arrow to the bow. And as soon as Indra understood that he would be killed, he gave up the horse and he ran away. But still he was disturbed. He could not just bear that Maharaj Prithu was performing the 100th sacrifice. He thought his position was in jeopardy. So he went again and he spread a smog over the sacrificial arena and stole the horse again. And this time again Atri Muni told his son, he said, go kill Indra and get the horse. So the son of Prithu Maharaj went, and this time he threatened Indra again. He got the horse for good and the sacrifice commenced. The first time when Prithu Maharaj's son got the horse, they thought he had won it from Indra, so they gave him the name Vijitashva, like that. So the second time he was unsuccessful in getting the horse because Indra ran away with the horse. And consequently the sacrifice could not be performed. When Maharaj Prithu saw it, he himself took a bow and fixing an arrow, he thought, I'll kill Indra. But the Brahmana said, O king, you can't kill anyone except for animals in this yajna. So therefore, it had to be stopped. So Lord Brahma came, he informed Prithu Maharaj, he told him, please, don't perform yajnas. You know, you are a plenary portion of the Supreme Lord. You know that you don't have to perform the 100th yagya in order to be successful. You are successful already. So just continue, accept it as it is. And then Lord Vishnu himself came with Indra to the arena of the sacrifice. And he addressed to King Prithu. He said, "Oh king, you know, I have brought the king of heaven, Indradev, with me. I know he stole the horse and he disturbed the sacrifice. But now he is repenting that and he has come to beg your forgiveness. Please forgive him." So then Maharaj Prithu, he forgave Indra. And then Lord Vishnu was very happy to see his two children making it up. But that, in that purport, Prabhupada mentions that it is because of that, you know, that this, since then, people have been taking the position of sannyasis and abusing it. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati gives a very nice example. He says that in India at that time, he used to say that prostitutes, they used to go to Vrindavan to catch some holy man so that they could have, you know, a child from that holy man and their life would be successful like that, because, you know, the father would be a holy man even though the mother is a prostitute like that. So they used to go there and try to seduce and entice holy men. But what happened was that the thieves, fools and rascals, as Prabhupada mentions here, they noticed it. And they dressed as sannyasis and sadhus. And they sat. And they used to, you know, meet these prostitutes, get seduced, and they used to then, you know, fool them. So, like Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, whatever starts from the mode of ignorance, that is sinful. Whatever starts from the mode of passion, it has to end in misery. So even though the prostitutes thought they could have, because the procedure wasn't right, they weren't following, the end result was misery for everyone around and sinful. So Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati gave that example like that. And then we can see that even when Lord Krishna was there, you know, Paundraka, he had this, he sent a message to Dwarka. He sent a messenger actually to the assembly of Maharaj Ugrasen. And the message was, oh imitator, you know, give up this imitation. I am the real Vasudev. And he had actually attached two more hands to make four hands. Pandraka was the king of Kurusha. And the king of Kashi was also helping him. So both of them, you know, they were together. And this message was sent to Krishna. And everyone, including Ugrasen, they started laughing. Because they knew, you know, who Krishna was. Krishna had exhibited it. He had come there after his pastimes in Vrindavan, killing of all the demons and Mathura. And then he had come there. So they knew who Krishna was. And then they started laughing. And then Krishna ultimately went to Kashi. And he challenged. He actually sent the messenger back saying, you know, tell Paundraka that I challenge him. And he went to Kashi, he challenged Paundraka. Paundraka came with his army and Krishna killed both of them, the king of Kashi and Paundraka, with his Sudarshan disc. And that was the end of them. So these people trying to imitate, they come one, you know, time after time. Even when Prabhupada was there, one day Govinda Dasi, his disciple, she had laid a table selling books. And one of the girls approached her. And she said, do you have any books of this incarnation of God, Ramakrishna? And Govinda Dasi said, no, but we have the Bhagavad Gita by the real Krishna. She said, no, but you know, this Ramakrishna, he's God himself, he's an incarnation of God. So I want to read his books. I've been following him. So then Govindadasi said, how can such an ugly man be God? God is supposed to be so beautiful, you know. So then that woman said, she said, you don't emanate love. How can you speak like this? You don't emanate love for a religious person. And Govindadasi said, that man is trying to cheat you. No human being can be God. And I'm trying to save you. That is my love. I'm showing you my love. You know. But she didn't understand that. So Govindadasi came and told this to Prabhupada. And Prabhupada said, very good. He said to the BBT editors, write an article about her and put there Govindadasi, the heroine. Like that. Because he said, we have to fight all these imitators because they are killing the faith of God. And he said, even in ISKCON, we should always speak the truth. Not that we play the game that, you know, okay, you know, people will come. We shouldn't, you know, tell them the reality. One day we can, you know, tell them about it. No, he said, we should tell them what the reality is. You are a spirit soul. You are not this body. You have taken on a body. The spirit soul is part of Krishna, so it is your duty to serve Krishna. Because unless we tell them about the reality, they will never know. So Prabhupada was for it, like that. And then Satswarup Das Goswami also one day approached Prabhupada, because at that time Ramakrishna Mission was very famous even in the West. And he was saying, what do we do about it? You know, like even the devotees are confused. Then Prabhupada explained that Ramakrishna is worshipping Kali. He was born as, you know, Gadadhar Chatterjee. So his name is not mentioned in any of the scriptures. He is not an incarnation at all. Yeah, and he's worshipping Kali. Krishna says, Kamastaste Rita Jnana Bhajante Anya Devata. Those who are, you know, full of desires, they worship the demigods. Yeah. Antavanta tu phalam tesham tad bhavati alpa medhasa. Only those who are less intelligent, foolish, they worship the demigod. Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita. And our procedure is yajna sankirtana prayat yajanti hi sumedhasa. So they are alpa medhasa, but the process given by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is for sumedhasa. So you want to be sumedhasa or alpa medhasa? You have to decide. So of course, I mean, they understood that, you know, this process, our process is the highest. It is for intelligent people, like that. And then Srila Prabhupada said that he was worshipping Kali, and initially he was also a devotee of Lord Ram. So he used to call himself an incarnation of Lord Ram. But when Vivekananda went to the West and became famous, he gave him the name Ramakrishna. Because he says, besides being the incarnation of Ram, he's also the incarnation of Krishna. So he became Ramakrishna Paramahansa. So that, and together with that, Prabhupada mentioned that he said that when he gave, the process was, he touched the spine of Vivekananda. And he transferred all his potencies to Vivekananda. Therefore, Vivekananda became famous. And he claimed that he himself, Lord Ramakrishna Paramahansa, lost all potency. So Prabhupada said, this is a crazy process. If you are an incarnation, you empower others, you don't lose it. You know, you are empowered more by your disciples, you know, doing the work that the Lord is pleased by. So the whole philosophy is wrong. So don't worry about them. You know, what we are doing, what has been given to us, is the highest. So again and again, we can see that it is all a matter of, you know, faith, putting faith. And that is what happens, is that all these fake incarnations, and even today, like, you know, in the name of art of living, this, that, and the other, all the other, processes that are going on, they're killing the faith of the people because they are not giving them the highest. It is good to bring people to the mode of goodness, but the thing is, without connecting them to the Lord, it is difficult to keep them in the mode of goodness. That has to be done. So, any questions, comments so far?